And 11 o'clock is good to leave for the airport? Okay, great. What time do you
10:13.
Have? 10:13. So if you give me a 10:55, that'll be my 5-minute warning. Great, thank you. We'll be in Romans 2 today in our study of the book of Romans. What we're going to do, so last week we left off at verse 16. And so what we're going to do to start is go to 17 through chapter 3, verse 8. And we'll come back and study that passage. Okay, Romans 2, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the circumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What advantage, then, hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man is a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. Okay, so this is the passage we're going to study today. And starting in verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew. And I would say even within the grace movement, grace believers, you'll get a lot of many people, you know, behold, thou art called a Jew. So is Paul literally talking to Jews here? Or is he talking to Jewish proselytes? A lot of the camp will say, no, this is where he's talking to Jews. My personal belief, and I always try to emphasize that when I'm giving you my personal thoughts on it, I believe this is a Jewish proselyte as opposed to a Jew by birth. In other words, Jewish proselyte, those Gentiles who have aligned themselves with Israel, who have been circumcised because the Jews were to be circumcised, I believe that is who this is talking about.
This is talking about or to?
About. Thank
so
you.
So it's about a Jew, whether they be Jewish by inheritance or Jewish by
a Gentile who's aligned with Jews, exactly. Right.
So he's talking to anybody that aligns himself with Jews and or are a Jew.
Yes, yes.
And what in this passage makes you say that?
And primarily, more the Jewish proselyte than the actual Jew. And the reason is this. First of all, back up to, let's see, chapter 1. Oh yeah, chapter 1, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, okay, so the you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, skip their parentheses, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Okay, so right off the bat, he's addressing Gentiles. When we get down to chapter 3, verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Okay, and then he's going to start addressing here, so why did those Jews, did those Jews have an advantage? Yes, they did. Again, next door is a dive shop, and for the camera, there's a dive shop next door, and that's the pressurization tanks that makes that goofy sound, and so don't let that bother you. That's all that is. The pipes contracting and all that good
stuff. So it's because of verse 13 that you surmise that he's speaking to Gentiles that are Jewish.
Yeah, the other is, I believe if he was talking to Jews, he would have just said, "Behold, thou art Jews and rest in the law." No, thou art called a Jew and rest in the law. He's really differentiating.
What verse are you referring to?
So now we're back to 2:17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, yeah, and restest in the law. Why would he say thou art called a Jew if they were Jews? Behold, you're called Americans. No, you're Americans. You live in, you're citizens of the United States. If you were people that were born in Italy, and when you were 20, you moved over here, you immigrated over here, you were in the process of becoming a citizen here, because you, by choice, because you wanted to, but you were not yet a citizen of America. I might say, you're called Americans, but really you're still an Italian. Okay? So I'd say you're called Americans, as opposed, if I was addressing you that are here, I'd just say, hey,
so you're called Americans, but you're really a proselyte.
Yes.
Is what you're saying in this.
Yes. Okay. Is it critical? I don't think so.
I was trying to think the opposite. Why would it matter on the other end?
Yeah, it's not that it really even matters either way. I don't know. Go back to Acts 17. So, remembering that Paul is saved in Acts 9. Acts 13 is the first time he preaches the gospel of Christ. And from this 16 and this 20. From Acts 16 to 20 is when he writes the Acts epistles. Okay, between Acts 16, Galatians, then 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, then 1st Corinthians, then Romans, then 2nd Corinthians. All of that is between Acts 16 and Acts chapter 20. Okay? The Acts epistles. Romans being one of those Acts epistles. Now, in the middle of that, Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. Well, I thought he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Yes, he is the apostle to the Gentiles. But during his Acts ministry, during the book of Acts, it's right there, what we just read in those two verses. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, the synagogue. Well, who's at the synagogue? Jews and Jewish proselytes, those Gentiles that recognize the promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, I'll bless him that bless thee, curse him that curse thee. That's carried on, that's still in effect at that time. Okay, make sense? Okay. And furthermore, a good example would be, so move to chapter 18. This will be Corinth. 18:1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Okay, so he's in Corinth now. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the, where?
Synagogue.
Every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Okay, I thought he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He is, but he's still bound by the promise to Abraham at that time. Verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now, here's the key in verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, first of all, who's the he that shook his raiment?
Paul.
And who's he speaking to?
Jews.
The Jews that blaspheme, okay? Exactly. Shook his raiment and he said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, and one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So now he's released from going to the synagogue every Sabbath because the Jews rejected him. They blasphemed. He goes into the house of Justus, who lives literally right next door, the other side of that wall, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Okay, he's in the dive shop next door. There's a wall between us. And that's what happened here. And this is what happened in every town that Paul went to during the book of Acts. He went to the synagogue first, as his manner was, stayed there until the Jews blasphemed. Now he's released and goes to the Gentiles only. Now, any Jews that wanted to could follow, but the Jews, for the most part, were blaspheming each and every time. Okay? So any questions on that?
So at that time in 18 is when he stops going to the synagogue first.
I would say until 20, but really 18, because actually 18, 19, and 20 is all Corinth. So, yes. I mean, he's here for another 3 years. Or that his whole time there is 3 years. And Ephesus, excuse me. 19, he goes to Ephesus.
So with the Ephesians, the synagogue.
Yeah, and actually he's already been there and went to the synagogue first. They blaspheme, he leaves, because actually in 19 when he goes, he doesn't actually go, or is it 20? Yeah, 20 when he goes there in Acts chapter 20, he doesn't actually go to the town of Ephesus. He has the leaders come to meet him at the seaport. Miletus.
So, you were saying that when he did go to Ephesus, he went to the synagogue first?
Absolutely.
And where is it showing this? Because I didn't see that. In Ephesus. So, up to Corinth.
First time he came.
No, the first time.
Okay, 18, chapter 18, verse 19, 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head and censure, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, first time. And he left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Same term we see every time. Reasoned with the Jews. Okay? Verse 20. And when they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Okay, so it's quick the first time. He goes back a second time. And then the third time, he actually has the leaders come to this. It'd be like if Ephesus was Houston, and Galveston's a seaport down there. He didn't have time because he was going to Jerusalem the third time. So because he didn't have time, but he wanted to meet with them, he had the leaders come from Houston, from Ephesus to the seaport, which is Miletus there in Acts 20. Okay? So each time he went to a town between Acts 16 and Acts 20, He goes to the synagogue, and he stays there. Usually it's about 3 weeks, as much as the Jews could take, I guess. About 3 weeks, it seemed to be a pattern. They blaspheme, they reject it. Okay, your blood be upon your own shoulders. From henceforth I'll go unto the Gentiles in this town. Then he go to the next town, go to the synagogue first, repeat the pattern. Paul, as his manner was. Acts 17:1-2. Any questions on that? Because that is a key difference between the type of Gentile in the Acts epistles versus the type of Gentile that Paul writes to in the seven prison epistles. They're people like you and I. Meaning, we never aligned ourselves with Israel. Okay? We're the Gentile dogs in the Bible. Those that just good-for-nothing Gentile dogs that were stranger. Ephesians 2, that's us. Ephesians, which we're going to look at in this study, unless the plane departure comes first, because it is near the end. But Ephesians 2:11-12 describe us. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. That's how we're described, okay? Different than this Romans chapter 2, let's go back to Romans 2 now. This man right here in verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and a light of them which are in darkness. Come over to Galatians chapter 6. Very first book that Paul wrote. All right, so this whole thing, behold, thou art called a Jew, restest in the law, makest thy boast of God, provest that things are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Galatians 6, verse 12. And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. That's what's going on all around in these religious activities. People want to glory in their flesh. Kind of sounds like today. Okay, people wanting to glory in the flesh of the people. Look at how big our church is getting. All right?
Is that what that means?
Exactly. They're counting them. Glorying in their flesh. They desire to glory in your flesh. And it's how, you know, again, I would, whenever you read the book of Galatians, to bring it to current day, I would say, put the word baptism, as in water baptism, in for the word circumcised, to get an idea for what the religious activity that people were going through here. Back here, okay, in Acts 16, it's circumcision. It's still the Jews first. It's always been circumcision, circumcision, circumcision. When a Gentile would want to get right with God, I hate that term, but I'm using a term that the religious world uses, want to get right with God, back then it was, okay, you got to go get circumcised. You got to align yourself with Israel. Because that was still in effect back here. Just like we read everywhere Paul went to the Jew first. Today, what does everybody want to do? They want to get you wet. Got to go get baptized. Oh, you're professing salvation, you're professing faith, go get baptized. So, that's why I said when you read the book of Galatians, put that to kind of get a feel for what was going on back there when Paul wrote it. Think about the way water baptism is today. Okay? Just about every major denomination, it's all about water baptism. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's Catholic or Protestant. Every one of them. Different ages, whether you sprinkle or dunk or, you know, full immersion. I mean, it's just amazing how you can get people so upset about the age of baptism, about how the baptism is done. You can really get people upset.
Why do you think that's not mentioned here? Anything about baptism like that? Is it, these people you don't think were saying to be baptized?
You mean in Galatians?
Yeah.
No, I would. Circumcision was the main thing back here.
Oh.
That's why I say to put it in perspective, to understand what they were going through, is think about today. If you tried to join Church of Christ without being, try joining a Baptist church without being water baptized.
Well, that's also first and foremost in the Jewish law was circumcision. Water baptism was there and part of your blotting out of sins. Does that address kind of what you were just asking, why they weren't talking about baptism here?
Yeah.
Baptism was going on, and it was the blotting out of your sins, and you were to repent and be baptized and all that at that
time.
With
remission of sins, yes.
But
that was part of Peter's. But see, that was part of Peter's doctrine. That's what Peter was preaching to them. Paul never did. You know, matter of fact, we just read Corinth. Let's go back to Acts 18 where we just were, and we'll read another passage about that. Let's finish. So Acts chapter 18, just to get all the players here, the people involved. So Acts 18 verse 7 is where we left off. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Now watch verse 8. And Crispus, remember that name, Crispus, that who is he? The chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul. Okay, so on he goes. Now, come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Remember Crispus. Just looking for one other. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1. I'll get there. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1. Now watch what Paul says about water baptism. We always say don't watch what Paul does in the book of Acts. Listen to what he teaches in the books he writes. Remember, Paul says he was all things to all people. Unto the Jews I became a Jew, so that I could talk to them. Unto these I became as them, so I could talk to them. We can't do that today. Okay, now, 1 verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Yeah, that same Crispus we just read about there in Acts 18. Well, 18, whatever that verse was there. Okay, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue. Okay? Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Okay? So, yes, Paul did baptize those people back there. They were Jews. He was going through the progression that the Jews would have to have done. That's why he did that. But he says, I thank God I baptized none of you except for those two, that one, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any others. I think Paul would remember if he had baptize anybody else, don't you? Okay? And so does that answer the question? This is a long way of answering the question, but... Okay? So back to Romans 2. Verse 19, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes. He uses that term in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Babes in Christ, to teach you like your babes. A teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest that a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. Okay? I said half the time, I think most teachers or preachers are preaching, half the time we're preaching at ourselves. All right, and that's, he's getting on these guys. Hey, be careful here. You know, you don't be, just like he said back at the beginning of chapter 2, verse 1. Thou, for thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. Okay? And kind of going through some of the same things here. He lists them all out. But we really need, there's none good, right? We're going to see in Romans 3, there's none good, no, not one. All right? We're all sinners. Every single one of us. Everyone that's ever walked this earth, save the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And that's why Paul said in Romans 1, 15 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Or, not ashamed. For I'm not, excuse me, for I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now in verse 16 he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel of Christ, how that Christ, when he hung on that cross, died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, according to the scriptures, was buried, took our sins to hell, and on the third day was raised again for our justification. Thank you. Okay, that's the gospel of Christ. Simply believing that that happened, simply trusting in that and that alone for your salvation, you're saved, then sealed, that settles it. Nothing you can do to gain your salvation, nothing you can do to lose your salvation. We're in the right dispensation for sure, the dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians chapter 3. Why anybody would think that they have to do something? Well, it's just like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Oh, it doesn't stop there. It has another phrase. Lest any man should boast. We boast about it, just like Galatians 6, 14 that we were just reading about. So we either boast in ourselves or we boast in and we glory in counting other people that we're bringing in or that we're teaching or look how big of a thing we're building. All right?
If there's boasting, then we know it's...
I'm sorry?
I said if there's some boasting, then we know that it's not according to
Scripture. Not at all. Absolutely. Contrary. And God is a jealous God. Didn't he say that back there? Right? He's a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And, oh, by the way, that includes yourself. How many times we put ourselves there? Now, verse 23, thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Okay, now watch that phrase, being blasphemed among the Gentiles. And through breaking the law. Come back to 2 Samuel. I think we even looked at this before, but the whole... I'm sorry?
So I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah. That's in the Old Testament. It comes after 1 Samuel.
It's in the clean pages.
It's definitely in the clean pages.
2 Samuel what?
Chapter 12.
Page 382.
382. 2 Samuel, chapter 12. So this is the story of David. Nathan comes and addresses him. And, you know, he gives them a story first. Nathan's like, man, that guy's history. You know, I'm going to have him put to death for what he did, stealing that man's only lamb. Well, verse 11, Nathan says, Thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm sorry, that's not where it is. Verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. All right? And why was all this an issue? Well, besides the fact that he committed adultery, committed murder to cover up the adultery, and the pregnancy that came from that. Verse 14. And that's the verse I really want here. Howbeit, because by this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. But that key phrase there, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. All right, that's the issue going on here. David, what you did gives those idol worshiping Gentiles over there cause to blaspheme God Almighty Himself. That's the real issue here. That's the main issue. Back to Romans 2. It's exactly what he's saying here. Same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Back to the dirty pages, the well-used pages.
What are those people blaspheming? Those people that are blaspheming, those enemies, what are they actually doing?
Speaking against God.
Okay.
Speaking, to speak against, to blaspheme. To speak against. Oh, David, you think you're so holy? Yeah. Your God's going to allow that? Is allowing you to commit adultery? Allowing you to commit murder? Yeah, right. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. All right, so that should be us today. We need to depart from iniquity so that the Word of God is not blasphemed. You know, people do judge us. You know, think about the fish that people put on the back of their car. You know, be careful if you do that. Because when you start getting a little upset when somebody cuts you off, and you want to tell them they're your number one fan in the world, all right? And then they drive by and see that fish on the back. Who gets blasphemed? You know, who's looking bad? God Almighty. All right? So that's why we need to be careful. And I'm not suggesting you put a fish on the back of your car either. You know what I mean, that fish symbol?
Oh, okay. I thought it was like the fish on the coast or something.
Gotcha. Like you say, the looks I'm getting here. The early Christians drew a sign of the fish in the sand, and that was a sign to the other person that, hey, I'm a Christian. I mean, we're talking back here, Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, the early kingdom church. Something they would do, they'd draw a fish in the ground, in the sand. And people today will put that same fish on the back of their car. Hey, I'm a Christian. Well, if you're going to boast in that like that out loud, better be careful, because people will be judging us. Give not an occasion to blaspheme the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. See, again, a direct commandment, instruction, I think is a better word. Instruction for us. All right, we need to make sure that, so as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Make sure we treat our masters with all honor, our bosses, as messed up as they might be, all right, and as stupid a decisions as they might make. I don't know about you, but I know some of the ones I had couldn't believe how stupid some of the decisions they would make. All right, we need to count them as honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. All right? B. Because especially, you know, if we've made a stand there, the more you make a stand, the more you need to be wary of this. That God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Yes, people will judge us, especially the lost world. All right? Works have nothing to do with salvation. Always remember that. But our walk after we're saved, you know, people are judging us, and our works are judged in the future. You know, 1 Corinthians 3 being a good one. Our works are tried by fire. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptibleness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Okay, so here again, just these whole marching instructions for us from the moment that we are saved forward. All right, so back to actually, where are we time-wise, please?
10:49.
Thank you. Okay, 25, for circumcision, so I'm in Romans 2, verse 25. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. All right, so in one more passage, it would just make this sound like it's not directly to Jews, you know, these Jews, but these type of Jews also, Jewish proselytes. By the fact that later on they're getting circumcised physically at that time, as would have been prescribed. So let's come back and look at this. Deuteronomy, back in the clean pages. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 10. I'm going to read 28 and 29 again before we go back to Deuteronomy, for he is of Romans 2. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. What the Lord desired of Israel back here. Verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. We're talking about spiritual circumcision here.
Yeah, that's not talking about what they were doing in the law.
No, but of course they had to do that as well. But the point is, also, it's heart and spiritual circumcision as well. Okay, so while we're back here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, go to chapter 30.
Is there anywhere that says to be baptized in your heart?
To be baptized in your heart? No.
Takes water.
Verse 6, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. Okay, so again, the heart back here. Question.
The first part of Deuteronomy that we were reading, that was the correlating verses for Romans 2:28.
Yes.
What were those? I didn't get there quick enough.
Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 16 is what we read. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 16. Okay, we good to go? And then we did Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Now we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 and verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Okay? Thanks. In stereo. It means we've got 5 minutes. Okay? So this whole thing about the circumcision of the heart, too, and the spiritual circumcision, we're transitioning from physical to spiritual. All right? So our soul being circumcised, our flesh being, you know, the circumcision of the heart, the soul being circumcised from the body of flesh. All right? So, now, chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage, then, hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Okay, before we go there, just a note I have down here. Jews, circumcision, Israel. As you see all those in here. So, Israel starts with Jacob. Circumcision had started with Abraham. Okay, and that's, you know, Abraham is the one the Lord said, circumcise yourself, all your men servants. And when Ishmael was 13 is when Abraham physically circumcised Ishmael. Alright, so that's when that practice, physical practice, started. Now, Jew started with Moses, the term Jew. They didn't use that term until Moses. Alright. Now, chapter 3. What advantage, then, hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? So we want Moses, Abraham. Verse 2, much every way. Why? Chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. That's a quote of Psalm 51:4. We won't go back there because the alarm went off already. But that's David quoting God Almighty himself. And in reference to the whole Bathsheba incident. Verse 5, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. We're going to see in just verse 4. God forbid. Verse 6. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. All right? Which shall say in Romans 6 again, what shall we say then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Think about people today. There's a whole offshoot even of a certain group. Hey, we need to show grace by going out here and just rubbing it in everybody's face. It was just appalling. Anyway, so that is not what we're to do, is to go. Orlando, let me show you what grace really is. I'm going to go over here and just do some of the sleaziest, slimiest things I can, whatever, just to show you grace and that I'm still saved. That would be absurd. It would be totally contrary to the instructions that Paul gives us. Right? So it's kind of some of the things he's saying here. Okay, questions on what we've been doing here so far this morning? Because in the name of wrapping up at 11 o'clock on the button,
you're
1 minute of?
You got 1 minute.
Got 2 minutes, all right.
What does it mean, buried with him in baptism?
You got one.
I can do that in 60 seconds, huh? Buried with him in baptism. The moment you okay. So the passages I would use, Ephesians chapter 4. It says there is one baptism. There's seven unities there. One of those is one baptism. I would use Colossians 2. I would use Romans chapter 6. I would use 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Putting those four passages together, you ask yourself, is he talking about physical water baptism? Or is he talking about spiritual baptism at the moment of salvation? And I'm just going to leave it as a question, actually. You go back and read, or maybe we'll do that after the break here. And we will do that after the break. We'll come back and do that. So for the tape, Romans 6, 1 Corinthians 12, Colossians 2, 11, 12, 13, where we read, and Ephesians 4 says there's one baptism. So you got to say, ask yourself, okay, which baptism is it then that applies for today in the year 2014 in the dispensation of the grace of God? It's either water baptism or spiritual baptism. Or you can go back to Matthew and find three baptisms in one verse. Baptism by fire. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. So there's lots of baptism. Just like there's lots of Gospels, there's lots of baptisms in your Bible. Which one? Because Ephesians 4 says there is one baptism. I would suggest, so I will, for the tape's sake, it's spiritual baptism, putting Romans 6, 1 Corinthians 12, Colossians 2, 11, and 12 together, you see that it's spiritual, and we're going to do that in the second hour here. Okay? And for those of you on the tape, if you're here watching this somewhere on our page for Austin Bible Fellowship, you'll see one called Which Baptism? One of the lessons, it's called Which Baptism? So go there and that'll address the very good question that was asked, because that's something you will address in this day and age if you talk to anybody in the world of religionity, for sure. Okay, thanks, Orlando.